الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Dear respected elders, brothers in Islam, and mothers and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent each and every one of us in to this worldly life with a very important objective and purpose. The creation of insan, humanity, and his coming into this world is not futile, but rather his coming into this dunya is based on a very important objective, an important purpose, and a very important task. This worldly life, this dunya, is only a phase from the various phases of insan. Every human, every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every insan, he has three phases to his life. One is before this dunya and the other is after this dunya. And the third is the dunya itself. The first phase of every insan, every human is the alam-e arwah. The alam and the world of arwah, the souls. Where our soul existed only, no body, only the soul, no jism, no body. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He grants us birth through the medium of our parents and we come into this world, this dunya. This is the second phase of insan. In this second phase, there is the ruh, the jism, the body. There is the ruh, the soul. And with this soul, there is also a body. The jism. So alam-e arwah, only the ruh, only the soul. We come into this world, into existence, into the dunya. Now there is the ruh, the soul, and with this soul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fashioned a body around it. And a time will come, because this dunya is very short, a very temporary period. A time will come when we depart from this world. And comes the third phase of our life and the last, final and eternal phase of our life, our existence. That is the Akhirah. And in this Akhirah, once again, only the soul exists. This body no longer remains. Body remains in the world, it decomposes. And it becomes nothing. So three phases of our life, the Alam-e Arwah, Alam-e Dunya and Alam-e Akhirah. Alam-e arwah, only our soul exists. Alam-e dunya, Allah gives us a body with the soul. And alam-e akhirah, again, only the soul exists. There is no value of this body and jism. Now this second period of our life, or this second phase, the dunya, which we see around us, which we exist in, which we live in, which seems to us as everything in this life, the purpose of our existence. Because we cannot remember the alam-e arwah. We cannot remember how we were in the world of souls. what discussion we had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us and spoke to us, Alastu bi rabbikum, and we all said, Bala. We cannot remember anything. And the alam akhirah, the third and final phase of our life, it is unseen. It is from the ghaib. This is why we are mu'min. We believe in those things that are unseen. We cannot see Allah, yet we believe in Him. We cannot see our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet we believe in Him. We cannot see the angels, yet we believe in them. We have not seen all the previous books, the Torah, Zabur and the Injil, yet we believe in them. We cannot see Jannah and Jahannam, yet we believe in it. We cannot see the Qabr and the condition of the Qabr, the Ahwal and the circumstances that will arise, yet we believe in it. We cannot see Taqdeer, fate, yet we believe in it. These are all things of the unseen, and this is what makes us a mu'min. That we believe in all of these things despite not seeing them. So alam-e-arwa we cannot remember, alam-e-akhirah we cannot see. So the only thing we can see around us, the only thing that we can perceive, we can feel, we can sense, is this dunya. From the moment we are born, and as our shu'ur and our understanding increases, as our days of this dunya pass, and we progress as in age, we begin to see this world, perceive this world, feel this world, sense this world, benefit from this dunya. So shaitan beguiles us and he fools us into thinking that this dunya is everything. He never lets our mind go to the reality of the hereafter. So whatever phase of dunya we are in, our overall we have three phases. And then in this dunya we have also various phases from the moment we are born. And every phase is such that insan, when he is in that phase, he thinks that is the whole purpose of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an al-Kareem mentions a verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sums up the whole phase, all the phases of this dunyawi life, this worldly life of insan. In a few words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ عَجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one verse of the Quran sums up the entire system of the dunya, all the phases that insan he goes through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُوا, know well, أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, that this worldly life, this hayat and life of the dunya, it is made up of various phases. The first phase is la'ib. Second phase is lahu. Third phase is zina. Fourth phase is tafakhurum bainakum. Fifth phase is takathur fil amwali wal awlad. These are the phases of dunya. Every insan that is born, every human that is born, if he is given the average age of this ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith has mentioned the average age of my ummah is between 60 and 70. That is the average age. If somebody lives more than that, he is in bonus. The average age of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 60 to 70. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this life to someone, a life of 60 to 70, he would have passed through all these phases which Allah has mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. Phase 1, la'ib. What is la'ib? Laib means in the Arabic language play and games. This is the first phase of insan. When the child is born and the child is in infancy, 1 year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. This age of 1, 2, 3, 3.5 maximum, this is the phase of laib. Laib means play and games. And then, after this phase, when this phase is over, the next phase of insan starts. It is called lahwa. What does lahwa mean? Lahwa also means play and games. The Mufassirin mentioned that the difference between laib and lahwa. So laib up to age of 3, 3.5. Lahwa starts at that age, the second phase. And lahwa remains till 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Both laib and lahwa mean play and games. But there is a difference between the two. The phase of laib
And while I speak to you, my dear friends, I speak to myself first. While I go through these phases, each person take his own life through these phases. And you'll be able to show relevance. And you'll be able to have a click with this verse of the Quran-e Kareem. You'll be able to see this in your own practical lives. Laib is that play in games in which there is no aspect of win or lose. No aspect of win or lose. Look in your homes, if you have children, if you have grandchildren, if you have siblings that are of that age. They want to play. The child only wants to play. It has no other objective in life. And this child, at this age of 1, 2, 3, it is not competitive. It wants to just enjoy a game. You give this child a rattle to play around with, it is happy. It knows nothing else. You place a $500 note in front of this child, it means nothing to this child. For this child, this phase of life is only about laib, play and games with no competition. It just has to have something in its hand to make a noise, to enjoy. When the child is crying at that age, and it has a specific toy in the house, and you decide to give it your car keys worth $50,000, it will not want that. It wants its toy, because that is the objective. That is all what it understands. Allah has only given that child in that phase of life that understanding. So for that child, that toy and that small game in its hand is the whole world and everything that it contains. The whole dunya. Dunya wa ma fiha. There is nothing more important than that toy. Come the age of 3.5, 4, this child goes into the next phase of lahwa. This also means play and games. But now the play and game has slightly changed. This child now has an aspect of win or lose. It wants to play those games where there is an aspect of win or lose. Look at the 5, 6-year-olds around us. When they are playing in the homes, on the streets, with their friends. There is always quarrels and arguments. Who has won, who has lost. And that child who is 5, 6, 7 years old, if they are having an argument that I won, no, you lost, I won. If this argument is going on and you say, beta, take this toy, sit on the side and play with it. The toy that you used to play with when you were 1, 2, 3. The child will take the toy and throw it in our face. Why? Because the objective purpose of life has changed now. Play and games which has an aspect of win or lose. Now the child in that phase of life, when it looks back at 1, 2, and 3, those initial stages of life, the initial few years of life, and it looks at this objective of playing with a toy, the child thinks to himself at that time, at the age of 6, 7, that was futile, that was wasteful activity. That is not the objective of life. This is the objective of life, play and games. Play and games where there is win or lose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ. Two phases have passed. Now this same child hits the teens, early teens, 12, 13, 14, 15. When the child hits that age and goes into that phase of life, the objectives change again. This is the phase of life which the Qur'an-i Kareem, the whole teens, the whole vigor of youth, from 13 onwards right till 25, 26, 27, the vigor of youth, the Qur'an-i Kareem calls this phase of life zina. Pomp, show. Look around us in our society. Look in our homes. The children, when they reach that age, you tell that child that better go play on the street with your friends and engage in the game of those plays and activities which have an aspect of win or lose. Child is not interested at the age of 15, 16. The maqsad and objective of life has changed. This teen and this young man in the vigor of his youth, he wants zina. Everything in life is about show. The way I walk has to be the best. The way I talk should be the best. The handset in my hand should be the best. The car I drive should be the best. My style should be liked by everyone. I should be adored by everyone. Now you tell this child or you tell this young man that play those activities which have an aspect of win or lose. The child will laugh at you. Is that something to do? Is that an objective of life? He has tasted the next phase of life. The phase of zina. So all these things prior to that, phase of laib, phase of lahwa, they have become futile. They mean nothing to him. Now this young man in these phases, these ages of life, in this phase of teens and early youth, He thinks this is the whole life, this is everything. To be the best in everything. Yehi tujhko dun hai, rahu sab se bala. Ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob rahmatullahi alayhi, the senior khalifa of Hakim ul-Ummat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, says these couplets, summing up this phase of life. Yehi tujhko dun hai, rahu sab se bala. This is the only obsession this person has, that I remain at the top in everything. Ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. This zina, this appearance, this beauty, the fashion, the style of the time, that has to be perfect, that has to be correct. He becomes obsessed in that phase of life. Nothing is more important to him than his own self. Me, myself and I. This is why we face this challenge with our youth. We find this struggle with them to make them understand that listen to your elders, listen to your ustad, listen to your mother, listen to your father, listen to the elders of the household, listen to the elders of the community. No, he's obsessed. He's intoxicated. Me, myself and I. Whatever I decide is final. But this phase of life doesn't last forever also. He comes out of this vigor of youth. He gets married and settles down. He has educated himself. He now has a family. He has responsibilities on his shoulder. And now that his life has moved on, this zina is not the objective of his life. Now the objective of life has become tafakhurum bainakum. Exchange of boastful claims. I have achieved this. I have done this. I have achieved this. I have done this. I have achieved this much education. I have amassed this much wealth. I have this business which is set up. I have this much wealth in my bank account. Objectives have changed now. Now you tell this person that, worry about your clothes, worry about your style, worry about the fashion. Objectives have changed. This person now, when he looks back at the phase of zina, at the phase of laib, at the phase of lahwa, he thinks all of them were futile because now he feels these things are the objective of life. My dear friends, I am not saying this. These are the verses of the Quran Kareem. These are the verses of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This lasts for a while. This age, this phase of tafakhurum bainakum. Then he moves on. He moves on in life. He has children. Now he has grandchildren. Now he is not worried about what he has achieved in terms of I have this, I have this, I have this. He is not worried about. He is in the final phase of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this phase of life takathurum fil amwali wal awlad. He's reached the age of 60, 65, 70. Now he's not worried about lahwa, he's not worried about layib, he's not worried about zina, he's not even worried about exchanging boastful claims with people that I have this and this. He's only worried about two things now in the final phase of his life. Takathurum fil amwali wal awlad. He looks back and he counts that what is the size of his family and what is the amount of his wealth. Because in the final phase of life, insan, he only wants these two things. Is my family well set? Have I got support around me? Children, grandchildren. And is my bank account enough to suffice for the rest of my remaining years of life? So he worries about these things. That have I amassed enough in these two? Have I gained enough family size and support? And have I got enough wealth? And this person in this phase of life, if you ask him about tafakhurum bainakum, the phase before, he says that is not important. This is the objective of life now. You ask him about zina, he says that is not important. This is the most important thing in life. You ask him about the phase of laib and lahw, he will say that is futile, that is silly. This is the important thing of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes our phases of life here, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this verse of the Quran Kareem with a thought-provoking sentence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say anything else because there is still one phase to come. In the dunya, this is the final phase. There is still one phase of life left for insan, but Allah doesn't mention that phase. Allah says something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a statement, and then He wants our minds to begin to work on this statement and think for ourselves. Allah says, laib, lahwa, zina, tafakhurum bainakum, takathurum fil amwali wal awlad. He has done all, has passed all of this. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that His example, this person who is in the final phase of life, his example is like kamathali ghayth. His example is like that of a farmer. Kamathali ghayth in ajabal kuffara nabatu. A farmer, he cultivates his land. He works hard on his land. He sows the seeds. He waters the land. He cultivates the land properly so that he can grow good crops, and the crops grow. And in front of him, the farmer is standing there and he sees that there is a whole field, acres and acres in front of him, which he has tirelessly worked for. He has given years and years for this effort to cultivate this land, and now you can finally see that the crops have grown and lush green grass, lush green fields are in front of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that him, this farmer, and this person in the final phase of life, they are equal in what? كَمَثَلِ غَيْثِ. It is like the rainfall, heavy rainfall. أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُ. Which pleases the farmer. Why? Because it grows his crops. But then the farmer, one day he realizes that 2 months, 5 months, 1 year, 2 years have passed. ثُمَّ يَهِيجِ. That this lush green grass begins to dry up. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا. It begins to become like yellow, dry grass. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. And then it becomes so dry and so weak and flimsy that the wind comes in one direction and it becomes hutama, it becomes dust. All the dry grass just flies away. He is left with that empty plain land again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us that when you were in the first phase of laib, you thought it was everything. But when you went into the second phase of lahwa, you realized that that phase was nothing. When you went into the phase of lahwa, second phase, when you went into the third phase of zina, you look back at the first two phases, laib and lahwa, and you realize when you were in zina, that those two phases are nothing. This is the objective of life. When you went into the next phase of life, tafakhurum bainakum, exchange of boastful claims, you went into that phase and you realize that zina, laib and lahwa, they were nothing. This is the reality of life. This is what the whole world is for, the purpose of my existence. But then you went into the takathurum fil amwali wal awlad, next phase. In that phase, you realize that tafakhurum bainakum, zina, laib and lahwa, none of them were worth anything. This is the reality of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops here and says to us, when you go into the next phase, the akhirah, the hereafter, and then you turn back and look at the dunya, you will realize that tafakhurum bainakum, takathurum fil amwali wal awlad, zina, laib, lahwa, none of them were worth anything. The reality is the hereafter. The reality is the hereafter. But my dear friends, by that time it will be too late. By that time it will be too late. We will be standing in the court of Allah and we realize that all these phases were futile. They were not worth living for. Yes, we have to live in the dunya, not live for the dunya. There is a difference. Living in the dunya is one thing. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to earn, we have to sustain our families, we have to go out into the workplace, we have to have a social life. That is living in the dunya. Living for the dunya, that we do all of these things, thinking that this is the objective of life, and we become neglectful from the purpose of the hereafter. That means we are living for the dunya, not living in the dunya. If we do everything in life that we need to, and we remember the hereafter, we prepare for the hereafter, we keep in check that what am I doing to prepare for my hereafter, that means we are living in the dunya. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verse of Surah Al-Hashr, which I recited in the khutbah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha, O you believe, fear Allah, wal tanzur nafsum. مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Each person, each mu'min, I am being told, you are being told, the imam of the masjid is being told, each and every person, young, small, pious, disobedient, male, female, everybody in this verse of the Qur'an Kareem is being told, that oh believers, fear Allah, and each person should check what has he sent forth to the hereafter. What have I done for the hereafter? What have I prepared for the hereafter? I am 20 years old. I am 30 years old. I am 50 years old. Ask yourself this question in 50 years. If I was to die at this precise moment, what does my heart tell me? Have I done enough to go into Jannah, or will I be heading for the fire of Jahannam? That is enough for us to decide how much we have done for the hereafter. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed this misconception from our mind. Which misconception? When all these phases of life, we think that that is everything. So we become engrossed in that phase of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Each person should check what he has done for tomorrow. What does tomorrow mean? All the mufassirin of the Qur'an Kareem are unanimous that this word means the hereafter. So why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just say وَلْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. Each person should check what he has done for the hereafter. Why did Allah say that وَلْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. What has he done for tomorrow? Why is the hereafter being called tomorrow? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remove this misconception from our mind that we are in our day-to-day life, that this dunya is everything, this dunya is everything, and we forget the hereafter. Allah is reminding us that what have you done for tomorrow, meaning that this hereafter which I am asking you about, which I am telling you to prepare for, which is your objective of life, it is not far away. Do not think it is far away. It is as close as tomorrow. It is as close as tomorrow. Meaning, what do you mean by tomorrow? I am sitting here today, it is 1:30 Friday. So till 1:30, till tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, there is less than 12 hours remaining. So nobody in this room will say that between today and tomorrow, there is a long period of time. It is only tomorrow. I will meet you tomorrow. It is a short period of time. Allah is talking to us in the same manner on our level, on, according to our understanding. That prepare, how each person should check what he has prepared for tomorrow. Meaning that just the way between today and tomorrow, the time is very short. The distance between, or the time between this dunya and the hereafter is also just like today and tomorrow. It is very short. And the second thing we are being told, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Just the way I am seated here and we are talking about tomorrow. And I know, I believe 100%. Despite I have not seen tomorrow, but I believe tomorrow is going to come. None of you have seen tomorrow, but you have 100% conviction and belief that tomorrow is to come. Allah is telling us the same thing, that despite how engrossed you get in this, into this, this dunya, always remember that this tomorrow is as certain just as the tomorrow of this world. This akhirah is as certain as the tomorrow of this world. It is going to come. My dear friends, the message I leave with myself and all of you is that when we go into this hereafter, my dear friends, we should be prepared for this hereafter. Let us live in the world, not for the world. And to live in the world, what do we have to do? Disattach ourselves from the dunya? No. We can do everything that we are doing now, remaining with two things in mind. I will not disobey Allah, and I will do everything that Allah is telling me to do. With these two things, I will not disobey Allah, and I will do everything with which Allah is telling me to do. I will do all the do's of Allah, and I will refrain from all the don'ts of Allah. As long as I do these two things, then what I eat, how much I eat, how much I drink, how much I go out with the family, how much I socialize, how much I sleep, how much I earn, it doesn't make a difference. But if these two things are not there, then my dear friends, each and every one of these other things, of our, every other worldly chore and activity of our life, makes a difference on our hereafter and makes has an impact on our hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand whatever has been said.